Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Rainer's Radio, practical training for joint heirs with Christ, with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening, and welcome to Rainer's Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host, and we have been talking about different aspects of learning to wait on the Lord, why it's important, some of the practical aspects of it, some of the consequences of waiting. And just as an example, one of the things that will happen is the Lord will start to sharpen your senses so that even as you start developing a habit, He will start directing you in that habit. He will direct you to different times. He will direct you to different locations. When you start giving the Lord opportunity to move in your life, He takes that opportunity. So we want to start by just giving Him an opportunity, giving Him an opportunity right now. Lord, we invite You into our conversation, into our awareness. We invite You to make Yourself real and provide guidance and direction and healing and information. You know what we need. You've created that need. And I just ask that You fill that need right now. And one of the things we all need is a greater thirst and hunger for You. So, Lord, I ask You to stir up a hunger and a thirst that will not be satisfied with anything less than what You want us to have for this time. You've opened gates and windows and doors. Lord, direct each one of us to go through the direction You want us to go through. We're all on an individual path, and yet we're all one in You. So we're all going together, and yet we all have our own mode of transportation, our own path, our own starting point. So, Lord, we take authority over all interference that is here, interference that is from without, that we've brought, that has been sent, that which has been bugging us or that which is new. We take authority over all those aspects and entities of interference. You must leave now. You must go where Jesus sends you. Or if you have a legal right to be here, you must sit in a corner until Jesus tells you you can go. Lord, we just ask You to bring to our mind any thought, memory, or emotion that would lead us in a specific direction You want us to go. And right now, just let the Lord bring to your mind or your being, your awareness, an idea, a thought, an emotion, a memory, a song, a scripture, a saying. Okay, now I want you to write that down. Then after we're done with this program, I want you to take that to the Lord and say, Lord, where do You want to go with this? You can ask Him, Lord, is this something I need to take authority over? Or is this an area I need healing? Those are generally the places the Lord starts us with, especially the healing. We are all wounded. He is the healer. Don't continue to live as a wounded being. Learn how to go to the Lord to get healed. When you do this, it restores your relationship with Him. It increases your confidence in His ability to heal you, in His desire to heal you, and His love for you, that He wants you healed. It also gives you a freedom and a confidence to try new things. Settle it right now. You are going to make mistakes. I guarantee it. No big deal. Don't let that stop you from trying new things. Our goal here on this earth is not just to hang in there until we die and go to heaven. We are to be fully engaged in the opportunities God has placed in our path. Don't turn away from what God wants to do in your life. And don't turn away from your past or even your present. Let Him enlighten, give you light about the path you have taken to get where you are. You may need to experience some forgiveness, some restoration of relationships, and even just allowing the Lord to release wounds that you've experienced in yourself often releases the other people involved, whether they're living or dead. Remember, you don't forgive because someone deserves to be forgiven. You don't forgive because they've asked you to forgive them, or that they've tried to make up for it, or that they've even admitted that there's something that needs to be forgiven. No, you ask you forgive someone because you are a forgiving person. It is part of your character to forgive. It's not about them. It's not about the circumstance or the situation. Your new nature is a forgiving nature. The more we become aware of our new nature, the easier it is to release our soulical habits as the encumbrances that they are. Now, the soul that God gave you is the one He wanted you to have. The mind, the will, and the emotions. They aren't. Your soul is no more valuable to Him than anybody else's soul. Your soul is about you. He gave you this soul He wanted you to have for this time. So don't argue with Him about it. Don't think He's out to change your soul. Instead, your soul is being brought under your spirit, just the way it is. Now, in order for that to happen, your soul needs to be freed from its own striving, its own wounds, and it needs to be healed of those wounds. so it can fit within and under your spirit. Your solical strengths and solical weaknesses are all part of your solical being. But you're not a solical being. You are a spirit being that has a soul. Now, there's two kinds of spirit beings walking around as humans on this earth today. Those that are dead in spirit and those that are alive in spirit. If you are alive in spirit, you have all the resources of the kingdom available in you and to you now. So you can think big. As the Lord expands your understanding, that's one of the ways he draws us, is by inspiring those ideas. Now, very often what we do is we grab hold of it and we go, okay, well, I can take it from here. Well, no, you can't. Then you wouldn't need God. But the whole point is, of our being here, is to learn to let life, eternal life, flow in and through you, staying connected to him so that his life does the work in us first. We are first partakers, and then through us to the circumstances we're in, whether it's other people's lives, our country, our world, our universe, whatever. And really what he does, what's fun and exciting, is we can both partake and observe at the same time, because we don't need to worry about pleasing God. We don't need to worry about making a mistake. We can just be with him and be excited about what he's excited about and mourn with him as he mourns. We are joined with him, and his desires become our desires. And so he gives us the desires that are in our hearts. So back to some practical aspects of waiting on the Lord. We've talked about some of the real practical aspects, like setting up a time and a place, a location, a method, developing a habit. So what do you do? First, you do nothing. And you go inside and you listen to your breathing or your heartbeat. And one of the reasons we do that, rather than looking for something outward like a clock or something else outwardly, is so you can carry this around with you at all times. So you can wait on him, for him, and with him, whether you're sitting in your car or in the park or taking a nap in your basement. Your breathing in your heart, hopefully, is with you at all times. So the more you can become aware of that rhythm, the more it becomes a habit for your soul to rest, which then the Lord starts his work. So one of the most active parts of our mind, of our soul, is our mind. And most of us have never had to train our mind to stop thinking whatever it wanted to. And this is a problem. This is a practical problem. But spiritually, solically, when your mind is allowed to do whatever it wants, this is one of the ways your soul is rising up against God. This is why the scripture talks about bringing every thought captive. These are high and lofty stances against God's thoughts and ways. Our imagination, God loves your imagination. He loves your thoughts so much that he wants them in their God-given, God-created place so they can serve you. The purpose of your soul is to serve you as a soul. The purpose of your body is to serve you. When it's demanding service, it is behaving contrary to what God created it to be. So, as you bring and develop the habit of bringing your mind, your thoughts, into captivity gently. This may take a while. You're learning to free your soul to be joined to your spirit, which is already joined to the Holy Spirit. So as your mind wanders, don't react. Don't get all upset or frustrated or pay too much attention to it. Just let it come back. Just sit back, let it come back to focusing on the Lord. Remind yourself, Lord, I'm here for you. This can be, come up with your own phrase or use that phrase. That can just be like a leash on your mind. Just a little tug back to know we're here for the Lord. We're not thinking our own thoughts. We're here for the Lord. Well, if you feel anxious, or even you're having a physical reaction, you're antsy, trying to sit still, don't react. Don't try to force yourself to be quiet or still or not anxious. Don't work to try to make yourself at rest. Again, simply start over. Close your eyes. Take a deep breath. Lord, I'm here for you. He will train your soul. He will do it. You don't need to worry about that. Be available. Put yourself out there. He will train you. It's his job. Remind yourself your present purpose is to be with him. Now you're always with him, but when you're waiting on him, you will have the greatest reality of being with him. You may not sense anything. Nothing may change. You may think that was a total waste of time. No, it wasn't. You may not sense anything going on. You may not see a change, but things changed. Whatever happens during this time is up to the Lord. He is your personal trainer, and this is his training ground. And your life is like an obstacle course, and he will provide exactly what you need to accomplish his purpose for this time. He's arranged every circumstance in your life. You don't need to worry about, are you in the right place at the right time? Of course you are, because God has arranged for you to be right here, right now. Reacting to the actions of our soul only gives it greater control. It stirs it up and keeps your soul from being free and unfettered and available for the Lord to do what he wants. So don't use your soul, your emotions or your will, to try to bring, say, your thoughts under control. All you're doing is strengthening your emotions or your will. This is not about self-discipline. This is about the Lord conforming you to his likeness, spirit, soul, and body. The importance of this time is not that you get something out of it or see a change or even have a sense of his presence. Instead, the purpose of this time, your waiting time, is simply that you show up for class. Just make yourself available. God himself will take care of everything else. And he's going to do that anyway. And your spirit's already aware of that. But we want to have our soul and our body joining him in what he's doing. So, just as an illustration, picture yourself on one of those blow-up inflatable rafts just in the middle of a lake. There are waves all around being whipped up by the wind, and there's nothing you can do about it. Now, the wind is caused by external distractions. You don't know where it's coming from, and you have no control over the wind. And the waves are responding. They're the activity in your soul. But you just rest. And you find that as you accept the waves as they are, and relax, and keep your balance, but you adjust to what's going on as you relax on that raft. You let your outward and inward senses just rest. Over time, the waves on the lake begin to be quieted. The waves get smaller and smaller until you find that the only ripples are caused by your own movements on the raft. Eventually, even these ripples will cease as you relax in his presence, whether that presence is sensed by you or not. The surface of the lake becomes as smooth as glass. Just be there. Relax. You don't need to hear or sense or think or feel anything to know that God is doing his deepest work in you. You've given yourself to him. And while you are quiet, he is doing his work in you. He is tuning your senses to his frequency so you will be able to recognize and respond on his terms. You begin to learn his language. You begin to recognize his voice. You'll begin to see things in yourself. Patterns. This is why God has brought me to this place. This is why I've struggled with this. he starts to raise questions and answer questions and give you the encouragement and direction you need without you even asking. He knows what you need, and he wants to give it to you because he's created that need in you so he could give it to you, so he could fulfill that need. Eventually, over time, there's a strong likelihood that during these times, he will begin to make his presence known to you. Going back to our illustration, when the lake is still as glass, and you are just resting in his presence, any ripple will be caused by him. He will draw your attention to those things that he wants you to pay attention to. He will, because you have allowed him to sharpen your senses, you can rest assured that he will make himself known in a way that is recognizable to you. And you will recognize and be able to discern its source and meaning. Because you have allowed him to sharpen your senses, there will be clarity in his communication to you. This is not about guessing or subjective interpretation. God wants to be clear and understood. And the more you give him an opportunity to clarify himself, to be clear, and to be understood, the more he will express himself to you. Again, he will make himself known to you in a way that you will not miss him. You will recognize that's God. And you will know what he wants you to do. Now, sometimes, well, most of the time, in the beginning, we are just, okay, I think he wants this, or I think he's saying that. And that's fine, because we're still in the process of having our senses tuned, our ears cleaned out, our senses sharpened. And trial and error is how we find out if we are hearing from him. So that's fine. Go ahead. I think this is what he's saying. Lord, is that what you're saying? And we go through our steps, whether it's about a specific issue or it's just, you know, and this is really why he leaves these speed bumps, these obstacles in our life, to give us something to work with him about. If everything was perfect in your life, you wouldn't need him. So by needing direction, encouragement, healing, we know that if we get a direction from him, that that wound is rooted in something that happened when we were 10 years old between us and a neighbor. And we ask, Lord, is that something you want to heal? And he says, yes. And maybe we don't sense anything change. But now all of a sudden when we go there, when we think about that, there's no pain there. So there's a reality that we will begin to understand. Nobody else needs to know anything about it. But if that hadn't have happened, whatever it was, back when you were 10, there'd be nothing to heal now. So we can accept where we are right now as part of what God is doing in our life. So we will pick it up here next week. If you have any questions or feedback, feel free to drop me a line at diane@therainersclub.org or through Blog Talk Radio. Until next week, thanks for tuning in. This has been Diane Thomas of Rainers Radio. Have a great night.